Krishna, Krishna,
we're stuck in quarantine.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare,
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare
Hare,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Thank you. Are we ready to go?
Yes, Maharaj.
Need to extend. Okay, this she's gonna have to hold on. Okay. Now, what do you want me to do? Extend?
Yeah, I can do it. You can see it here. Yeah, okay,
I can begin.
Yes.
Welcome, everybody. Let us begin. Continuation from the morning class where we began the topic of preparing our hearts and our minds and our souls for receiving the chanting of the holy name properly. We heard the first part of the first verse of Shikshastaka, Lord Chaitanya's instructions in the matter. And we covered the first two of the seven excellences of the chanting of the holy name. Let's say the verse together again, and then we'll do a little review, and we'll carry forward. Cheto Darpana Varjanam Bhava Mahadava Nirvapanam Shreya Kayavra Chandrika Vidharanam Vidyavadu Jivanam Anandam Bhutipardhanam Pratipadam Purnamritasvadanam Sarvatmasnapanam Paramijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So we discuss Chitta Dharpana Marjanam, cleansing the mirror of the mind or the heart. Chitta Dharpana Marjanam is the first effect of an experience of the chanting of the holy name. And then the other effects are also unfolding, but they unfold in something of a sequence. And then Bhava Mahadabhagni Nirvapanam, we spent fair amount of time on that topic. Dhavagni, the blazing forest fire of material existence near Vatanam, becomes extinguished. Now, extinguished, that's a mature stage. I don't know if anybody here feels that they've entered the stage of nirvana yet. But we were speaking that stage of nirvana in Prabhupada's purport of chapter 6, verses 20 through 23, the Ashtanga Yoga process, that comes to the stage of cessation of material existence is the equivalent of Bhava Mahadavagni. Nirvapanam. So that's a very mature stage of chanting, but the chanting alone doesn't require something else. It brings one to that stage. I wanted to continue this a little bit, just in some embellishments. There's a nice reference from Nachiketa and between Yajiketa and Yamaraj from Katha Upanishad. I learned about this because when I first met Nityananda Prahlad, he introduced me as Nachiketa. And I didn't know who Nachiketa was, so I looked it up. Next time we met, he told me later, I really surprised him that I remembered his name and I knew the meaning of his name. Never had that happen before. So Nachiketa is a young Brahmin, name of a young Brahmin, who was requested some service by his spiritual master to gather, not just gather firewood, but his father, his spiritual master, wanted him to gather some fire from Yamaraj's abode. That's pretty good. So he went to Yamaraj's abode. And when he went to Yamaraj's abode, he saw a lot of fire. He saw a lot of burning, suffering living entities. And so he made a humble request of Yamaraj for some fire for his spiritual master. And Yamaraj just laughed. And he said, it's not possible. Have you take fire? The fire that you see all around here, it came along with the living entities. I didn't start any fires, or they didn't come into fire. They're on fire with the reactions of their sins. So the Dhavagni, Maha Dhavagni of material existence is the sinful condition that's extremely burning, just like the story of Sagara, the 60,000 sons of Sagara. You know the story from the sixth canto. King Sagara was a king, and he had two wives, and one wife had 60,000. sons, another wife had one. And when he was to perform a yajna, guess who stole the sacrificial horse? You guessed it. You didn't even read the story. And they wanted to trick Sagara, so they took the horse to the hellish region, and Kapila happened to be residing there, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord Kapila. And so they left the horse near where Kapila was doing his meditation, as you see the painting. And the sons of Sagara went all over the place. They couldn't find him. When told Sagara, he couldn't find the horse any place, because without the horse, not only the sacrifice can't be completed, but the performer of the sacrifice has a big problem by starting but not finishing. the yajna. So do what you have to do. So they went into the down, 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 and they found the horse in the bottom region of the universe, Patala Loka. And they saw a sage. And they thought, oh, he's the thief. So the 60,000 sons got their weapons. They were going to attack Kapila. And the narration wrongly says that by his glance, he burnt them. And they were just a pile of ashes. But the commentary says they were burnt to ashes by the heat of their own bodies, generated by the sin of attempting to harm Kapila. So in Bhaktisiddhanta's very special and inimitable words, when he describes in Brahma Samhita how the Supreme Lord acts with those who are engaged in fruitive activities or karma. Yes, Twindrgopa Matavendra Mahos for karma, that verse. The Supreme Lord acts differently with the devotees. What the Supreme Lord does differently with devotees, the karma is taken care of by bhakti. But what about the tendency? What about the tendency? So to do it again, once karma is gone, and hey, it's a good program. So he takes away the tendency, and the way that Bhaktisiddhanta presents it is the tendency to engage in fruitive activities and evil desires. He uproots. So that's what the holy name does, and it's more gentle, not like this. Although sometimes our experience is, and somebody you may know dear to you, their experience is, it's a rough ride. And there's, but it's not karma. It's the Supreme Lord. You know, we may have a lot of attachment to our material tendencies, not just coverings of the mind, but tendencies, wicked tendencies. So the bhakti process, particularly starting with the holy name, takes care of that. This is Sukadeva, Sutta Goswami speaking in the Bhagavatam. At the very beginning of his presenting his message, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and offering obeisances unto, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. Baba Mahadavadi, this holy name has that capacity. Comes at the very end in the 12th canto section of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami earlier in the 6th canto says similarly, other processes cannot be successful because even after following such methods, one takes to fruit activities again, unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of material nature. But this is describing the effects. This is the Ajamila chapter. But according to the teaching that we find in that first chapter, Shukadeva Goswami says that the chanting of the holy name takes away even the tendency. You familiar? Oh, do it. The end of the 5th canto. It's a description of the universe. And the end of the description of the universe, the final chapter, is the hellish planets. That ends canto 5, and canto 6 begins. Maharaj Pariksit goes, those hellish planets. what can be done to prevent people from having to experience the hellish planets, the fruits of their sins, is the hellish planets. So what's the antidote? And the answer to that question is one of the primary things that differentiates religions. How do you counteract sin so you don't have to experience hell and you instead even go to a good place? That's what religion often deals with. There's different ideas. So he presents, keeping it really simple because of time, he presents the method of karmakanda. You atone for those sins. But supposing you atone for sin, does it stop you from going and doing the sin again? And then Shukadeva Goswami says, you were really listening very nicely. Yes, I said that earlier. And therefore, there has to be knowledge, because knowledge may check the tendency to do it again. But that's not sufficient, because somebody may know what not to do and do it again. So what's the solution? Bhakti is the solution. And bhakti, even if it's in the abhas stage, has the potency to uproot completely. Now, nirvana is not just early stages of sadhana bhakti, but bhakti has the potency. Abhas bhakti has the potency. When to speak of shuddha bhakti. And it has the capacity to help control the mind, because the modes of nature are influencing the mind, and the modes of nature pull one back down again to do, you know, ignorant things or passionate things, like Indra will sometimes do, although he's up there in heaven, will sometimes do not so good things. Therefore, the downpour of rain that makes surfaces of water muddied, but may also put out the blazing fire of material existence, the mind can become peaceful even in the midst of adverse circumstances. When the mind has sufficiently cleansed, and this potency of the holy name, the second tendency for fruitive activities is checked, is by the power of the holy name, which we can't do on our own, because material nature has a hold on us. This same message, karmani near dehita pintu chabhakti bhajam, that's where Bhaktisiddhanta says that the evil tendencies and the tendency towards the root of our material existence, which is ignorance. So where does ignorant activity come from? From ignorance. Ignorant desire comes from ignorance. It's not, desire isn't at fault, and activity isn't at fault. It's ignorance. So Bhava Maha Dava Nidirvapanam, the chanting of the holy name, has this potency to take away that ignorance and evil tendencies, sinful tendencies at the very root. That's the holy name. Govinda minimizes or nullifies the reactionary influence of the devotee's past deeds. So that's all forms of Bhagavad Dharma, but all forms of Bhagavad Dharma start with chanting. That's a key message in Bhakti Sandarbha, in case you want to plunge into deeper topics of bhakti. You'll find them in Bhakti Sandarbha. Of course, Rupa Goswami very naturally does so. But an analysis of the bhakti process is amazing in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Bhakti Sandarbha. Here is the message in Bhakti Sandarbha, text 272. By performance of kirtan, one attains faith in the Lord far greater than the faith attained by meditation or any other spiritual practice. By meditation performed in the Satyayuga, one does not attain the same deep faith in the Supreme Lord. Jiva Goswami. And he cites the Skanda Purana. In Kali Yuga, the great devotees worship the Lord by performing kirtan. These words of the Skanda Purana glorify the performance of kirtan, which brings great faith in the Supreme Lord. The Lord, who is very merciful to the fallen souls, does not reveal any spiritual path better than kirtan. So we're on the right track. We just have to stay the course. Then comes the excellence number three. So Cheta Dharpana Marjanam, Baba Mahadava Vidirvapanam, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Chandrika is a kind of soap, right? Well, it's just a borrowed name, just like Avatar is a borrowed name. And Chandrika means moonshine. Chandra and Chandrika, moon and moonshine. And Vitaranam is the spreading of the moonshine. And the Sanskrit grammar is important here. There's two things. There's good fortune, and there's the white lotus, Kairava. Shreya Kairava, the white lotus of good fortune. So what happens in the nighttime with lotuses? They close. So in this age of Kali, the white lotus of good fortune is closed. But the moonshine and the Bhagavatam, the name and the Srimad Bhagavatam, open that white lotus of good fortune, as brilliant as the sun. The rays of the benediction moon open or expand. Could you come around this side? Can you show me? Can you come around over here? Can I get rid of this list of pictures over here on the right side? Can I do that? Or can you do that? Technology, excuse me. There we go. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. Okay. The rays of the benediction, that's a benediction moon. And the rays expand the petals of the white lotus. In this dark age of Kali, we need lots of moonshine because it's a dark place. And the benediction moon of the holy name expands the white petals of the white lotus. In the same word, Shreya, appears in Brahma's prayers, celebrated prayers. And this text 4 comes right after text 3. And what text 3 is a very, anybody know what text 3, prayer of Brahma, 10:14:3? You know the verse? The verse that Ramananda Roy offered to Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya was asking, what's the goal of life and the means to achieve it? Text 3 of chapter 14, he said, yes, that's it. It's a very important verse. If you like to memorize verses, try that one, because it's the essence of the bhakti process. It's the goal of life and how to achieve it. So it's by the bhakti process of hearing. And one of the home visits the other day was a 12-year-old girl who wanted to know, to do meditation, do I have to go to the forest? And she was really serious. I mean, simple-hearted individual. Having read Bhagavad Gita, to do meditation, do I have to go to the forest? You know, you just stay in KT and continue going to high school and do meditation by chanting of the holy name and the process of bhakti that unfolds from the chanting of the holy name. So that's the verse. Jnane prayasa udapashya namanta eva, give up the tendency for speculative knowledge, but engage in bhakti, starting with hearing. And then by so doing, and stay the course, one can go back to Godhead. One can inherit the kingdom of God. Bhakti pade sadayavak. Then this is the next verse, text 4. Shreya shutim bhaktim. Where having said what he said about the goal of life and how to achieve it, he then says devotional service is the best path for self-realization. Shreya is a popular name for girls in India. Shreya. And there's way Prabhupada would teach us things, he would make it really simple. There are two things. Okay, just two things. There's Prayas and Shreyas. Prayas is short term. Shreyas is long term. And the long term benefit is not like children like to do. Children like to play. One family moved from one part of one city to another part of the other city, and I asked their son, who is now at med school, which school do you like better? He said, I like this new one. What do you like better about it? There's more time for play. That was the standard of what's in school. More time for play. And anybody that has dealt with little boys, they know that's really important. Having some time to play. And that's prayers. And then, but yeah, you know, there's the long term. And the long term is Shreyas. Or Shreya Uttama. Jigyasu Shreya Uttama. Tasmat Guru Prapadita Jigyasu Shreya Uttama. Uttama, the ultimate long term good. For such a person, they require Guru. So Shreya Shutim Bhaktim, it's the best of the methods of bhakti or self-realization. So now comes a grammatical question. How is it that the moon and not the lotus has become the source of benediction? Because using poetic images, the lotus is often the symbol or the emblem of good fortune, benediction. So why is it that the moon is the source of the benediction and it's affecting the lotus, instead of the lotus is giving the benediction, the lotus in the heart? But the lotus in the heart is closed. In material existence, material consciousness, even if you're in the nirvana state, it's not. So what opens? And it can act very quickly. Just a little sharing with you from my visits to China. I've had over 30, I stopped counting them when I reached 30, experiences where completely new audiences introduced to kirtan, just like you were doing, you know, at the very beginning. And first time people, they start to cry. Their tears come to their eyes and their bodies tremble, their heart, they feel something. And at the end of the kirtan, what was that? I never experienced anything like that before. And it's not just a one-time, you know, rare occasion. It happens. Not all the time, but you know, Buddhism is really popular. not that the common people have reached nirvana or anything, but you know, the condition of the heart is transformed quickly by the power of the holy name. So there's further lessons that come from Kathopanishad in this regard. And here's the statement by Yamaraj. Here it is. Shreyascha Prayascha Manushyam Etas, etc. The wise reject the Prayas and choose the Shreyas, that which is permanently beneficial. The foolish choose the Prayas, which is with its resultant conceptions of gain and acquisition of fleeting pleasures. So wise persons go for the Shreyas, and that Shreyas is available through the holy name. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidhananam, the Sankirtan movement, is the prime benediction. That's the moon, is the benedicting feature for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. So, following from the first two, Chaita Darpana Marjanam, Baba Mahadevagni Girvapanam, chanting awakened Shreyas, pure devotion for Krishna, which is the soul's dormant propensity to serve the Lord with love. And further chanting revives the loving devotion, which qualifies one for the greatest good fortune, Krishna's association. So you can see this, it's not a bucket and then you move on to the next bucket, move on to the next bucket. It continues and unfolds the white lotus of good fortune all the way up to the stage of prema, where we're eligible for Krishna's association. But in the beginning stages, the tendency to serve, and it goes, go back to that verse in Canto 6, Chapter 1, where someone's even preliminary tendency to serve Krishna, tendency to serve. I know some people, it's kind of like karma yoga. They like, you know, very elevated people in the material world, conceptually, they like coming in and cleaning pots. They look forward to that because there's an experience when you devotionally clean Krishna's pots, your heart becomes clean. It's a fact. And they like that feeling. Not like they... So, or other forms of devotional service. You know, people that help with Rath Yatra, they don't know what's going on, but they just, there's a mood of serving Lord Jagannath that's really fantastic, etc. Without so many other examples, food for life, people really like it. You know, they can, in their mind, it's connected with helping homeless people, but you have to serve prasadam to homeless people and feel it's just people that come to serve the prasadam at the Sunday feast. You know, different temples, they have a team, and they're really attached to that service. They're not necessarily sadhakas, but if they have good manners and they can keep clean, they can serve prasadam. And there's a happiness. There's something about service. And that the tendency for serving Krishna through the chanting of the holy name, it awakens. That's our prayer. Oh, energy of the Supreme Lord, please engage me in the service of the Master, Krishna. It's a prayer to awaken service, and it happens. So that's the third excellent. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Then, number four, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. So now a little explanation of how this process, these excellences parallel the stages of bhakti. Those of you that like to compare and contrast things. The anartha nivritti covers the first three, or is covered by the first three excellences. So already we're moving into next, we're moving into the nishtha stage. Sins and the reactions to previous sins are gradually washed away and our hearts become filled with true happiness, not only sins, but anarthas in the first three. I hope you have your seatbelt fastened because we're going to move on to the next. Nishtha. The fourth excellence refers to chanting enriched with knowledge of the science of devotional service. That is, knowledge naturally awakens by study, but not by academic study, but by bhakti devotion. Knowledge awakens, where one's mind and intelligence becomes fixed as it matures, and one's practice becomes steady. And then following this excellence number four, we're going to move very quickly into the other ones, ruchi and asakti. Selfless attachment to Krishna. In the teachings of Narada Muni to King Puccini Bari, that's the picture here, Sa Vidya Tan Materyaya. He's explaining that the process of education really should be to become elevated to Krishna consciousness, that kind of vidya, because there's other kinds, but the meaning is this kind. Devotional service focused exclusively on increasing our attachment to Krishna is the goal of education, as well as the force that drives us forward. We study Prabhupada's books not as an academic exercise, but a devotional understanding more better through a heart that's become cleansed from chanting, who the goal is, not just what the goal is, but who the goal is. And as we understand the goal, as we understand the value of being in our relationship with Krishna, the impetus becomes stronger and more focused. It's less focused. It's more, I want out of here kind of motivation, selfish. But it becomes more focused in attaining the goal as we understand more clearly the goal. And bhakti allows us to understand the goal. Bhaktyamam abhijanati, bhakti becomes awakened. Shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam. Then comes this vidya vato jivano. This word vadhu means wife, or specifically young bride. And there's an adjective, vidya vadhu. So here's a young bride. And when the young bride is getting married, you know, a faithful young bride, her attention is going where? Not just all the bangles on her wrists, but to her new husband. So the life of the wife, that's the literal vidya vadhu, the life of the wife. So the young wife is thinking of her good husband, and vidya has its vadhu, it's the impelling force towards appreciating the object, Krishna, in the mantra, in the scripture, in our meditation, in our practices, in our cooking for Krishna, in our chanting for Krishna. It's not just how nice the kirtan is, but that Krishna is to be pleased by the kirtan. That's a different meditation. Vidyavadhu jivanam. The life of the wife of transcendental knowledge. in the discussion of the Atmanama verse, which we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a painting of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya speaking before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vedanta Sutra. And after Lord Chaitanya's explanation of Vedanta Sutra, he gives his explanation of the Atmanama verse, which concludes, with the exception of devotional service, all other methods of self-realization are like the nipples on the neck of a goat. Now, not having grown up on a farm, I kind of only have a faint idea what nipples on the neck of a goat are, so I provide a little picture. There's a goat, and those things that hang just beneath its chin, that's the nipples of the neck of a goat. But they don't deliver milk. They just hang there. Therefore, an intelligent person adopts only devotional service, thus giving up all other processes of self-realization. There may be other stages for some people that go the yoga ladder, and they go to take yoga classes because they're not at the bhakti process stage yet, or they just haven't met devotees yet or something. But supposing somebody becomes a really accomplished yogi, this is from a photojournalism article in New York Times a few years ago. The journalist selected 108 leading yoga practitioners, where yoga is not just an exercise, but it's something they consider spiritual. So this is one of the images from this 108 images. I selected this one because you really have, I mean, besides, I can't do this. It's not just doing a handstand and holding it. And there's lots of flexibility in the body. I can't, you know, so, but it's a lot of concentration of the mind. You can't do this without concentration of the mind and hold it. So supposing one has that capacity through this kind of yoga or any other thing, gymnastics, Simone Biles and everybody else that does gymnastics or other athletes, they have some very strong, they have to do what they do. But according to the Bhagavatam, without service to Krishna, the mind becomes disturbed by the modes of nature, and then again, it goes back to disturbed, back to the lower modes of nature situation. And as long as the lower modes of nature are active, you can't reach Krishna. You can reach towards Krishna through bhakti, but you can't reach Krishna without bhakti, because bhakti dissolves, according to Kapila Dev, it has the power to dissolve the mind, the material mind. It's like dissolving material desires, leaving spiritual desires. It awakens the spiritual desires and dissolves the material mind. So here's a nice lecture of Srila Prabhupada outlining these four processes of bhakti. There's chanting, reading, and kirtan. And where's the prasadam? By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge. That's this vidyavadu jivanam, a detachment. It is the life of the young bride, of all transcendental knowledge. The name is the life of the young bride, of all transcendental knowledge. A result of acquiring devotion is that devotees become illuminated with spiritual knowledge. And then further chanting matures that knowledge into realization, which in time reveals devotee's original position in one of the five relationships with Krishna. So we're at the preliminary stages. We're not at the remembering or reviving our sarup and our particular rasa with Krishna, but the holy name has that capacity, vidyavadu jivanam, in stages. Now we're moving into the bhava stage, the anandam bodhivardhanam. Ambodhi means an ocean, and again, vardhana means increasing. So what's an ocean that's increasing? An ocean of bliss that's increasing. This is the bhava stage. The waves of spiritual emotions splash within the devotee's melted heart. This is coming attractions, Prabhu's. Stay tuned. In this stage, the ecstasies of emotion have not yet fully matured. Fully matured is the prema stage. Spiritual development no longer depends on material conditions, since contaminations and material conditioning have been uprooted. Bhava proceeds unimpeded, abundantly manifesting flowers of the bhakti creeper, soon to transform into prema. So here's an ocean, it's an ambuti. Now, we're speaking now about an ambuti of ananda, an ocean of bliss. And Radharani is sometimes referred to as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, directly from Brahma Samhita. So that Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, that's the spiritual potency that we come in contact with through this chanting. There's the illusory Maya, which is influencing the mode through the modes of material nature. And then there's Srimati Radharani. She's the ananda portion of Krishna's internal potency, Yoga Maya. In Vrindavan, many of you have visited Vrindavan, and if you haven't, you will, for sure. May Krishna bless you to visit Vrindavan. And one of the places that you'll go to, likely, is in Vrindavan town, the Bhangshivat, the tree where Krishna called upon his Bhangshi, called the gopis to come. And just as you're approaching that area, you take the blessings of Yogamaya, whose deity is pictured here. And Yogamaya gives blessings to enter into the arena where Krishna performs his rasa dance. Here's a close-up of the deity. Very popular in ISKCON is the Kevalastika song, Eight Prayers Glorifying the Supreme Lord. It finds its way into Sharanagati also in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings. That person is a true preceptor or a true father, a true mother, and a true friend also, only if they teach one to always remember the holy name of Srihari alone is everything. This is this. You may not be at the bhava stage, but that this kind of faith leads to the bhava stage, this exclusive shelter in the holy name. And if you approach the holy name, even in with a preliminary kind of faith, the holy name reciprocates. The holy name is a person, not there's the holy name, and behind the holy name somewhere back there is a person. And then the person pops out or something. The name is a person. And the person of the name becomes revealed when we have this kind of faith and try I just, somebody shared with me today the conversation I had with them 7 years ago about they were struggling with chanting. It wasn't to their satisfaction somehow. And I don't remember the conversation. I know the message. But the conversation stayed with them for 7 years. And chant with the understanding that we have a relationship with Krishna, and the name is the form of Krishna that's most accessible and approachable by us by Lord Chaitanya's arrangement and scriptural confirmation. So establish, restore your relationship with Krishna through the name. It's a personal relationship with the name. And just by chanting, he's very kind. We've been neglecting and ignorant and covered and going the other way, and immediately he's there. He's such a loving person. So this devotee shared with me that made a big difference in their spiritual life because they took it seriously. And they have found since then that in their dealings with others, where they start to have difficulties in relationships with devotees, it takes a while, but they can trace it back to how they're having difficulty in taking shelter of the name as a person. And when they can connect with that mood and intention better, somehow the difficulties in the relationships get smoothed out, kind of like mystically. And it happens again and again for this particular devotee. It's not to say chant, you won't have any relationship problems, but chant nicely. But the heart cleansing in its maturing stage has everything to do with our regard and our relationship with Krishna. And the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything, and everything else is a reflection of that. So, Anandam Bodhivardhanam, it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and expanding that. As much as the heart is relieved of unwanted habits, that's the first three excellences, to that degree we become devoted to Krishna. As much as devotion is firmly fixed in our hearts, to that degree we acquire realized knowledge. And as much as the heart is illuminated by both devotion and knowledge, to that degree we taste spiritual happiness. In this way, the ocean of bliss swells. But we're not done yet. There's two more. Pratipatam purna amrita asvadanam. Everybody knows what amrita is. It's what they served out at the Sunday feast. Whether it's lemonade or nismet, it's amrita. It's nectar. You like some nectar, Prabhu? But so this is purna amrita, the full nectar. And there's an asvadanam, a taste of the full nectar that we desire prati padam at every step. There's, besides what we serve at the Sunday feast, couldn't call it nectar, there's this other idea of nectar that's found in the heavenly realm. They want soma rasa, so they can become deathless. This whole story of Mohini Murti and the churning of the milk ocean and all of that. The demons wanted and the demigods wanted, and amrita was settled by Mohini. She set everybody down and gave it to the demigods. But there was one person disguised himself. Who was his name? Rahu. So it's all the struggle over amrita, or to becoming deathless. So, but this is different. It's purna amrita. And that purna amrita is spiritual, 100%. reinstating the soul in his eternal position in Goloka, just like the reuniting of Gopakumar with Krishna in Goloka. We find this same Purna Amrita expressed a little bit different in the prayers to the six Goswamis. It's Prema Amrita Ambo Divi. Ambo Niti. They were steeped in this ocean of Prema, Prema Amrita. Another reference, this is the Vaikuntha Dutas to Gopakumar. Dearer to the Lord than even his own beautiful form, his easily worshipped holy name benefits the entire world. Indeed, nothing is as full of nectar, Amrita or Sa Rasam, as the Lord's holy name. This unqualified Kali Yuga folks, ourselves, we're being given such a benediction to get this easily achievable sa rasa, full of nectar. In Rupa Goswami's description of one of the stages of bhakti, the prema stage, it derides even the conception of liberation. There's a nice verse written in Padyavali. I'm going to read that nice verse from Padyavali. O Lord, is your impersonal spiritual effulgence not always present everywhere? Even so, it has not been able to break even a single small leaf from the tree of repeated birth and death. On the other hand, the moment your holy name is taken by the tongue, it thoroughly shatters the tree of birth and death down to its roots. Of these two, the spiritual effulgence of the holy name, the spiritual effulgence or the holy name, which should be served? That's Sridhar Swami in a poem that he wrote. And mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, but also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of the living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. And the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this love naturally awakens. So it's a gradual process, but when it comes to that stage, it's a hankering at every step. So the message is, if we perform the chanting of the holy name with love, you'll see Krishna either internally or externally at every step. He becomes situated, just like this Chaitadharpa Namarjanam. You make the Gundicha temple clean, and Lord Jagannath will come and stay there. You make your heart clean, and voila, you can see, like Dhruva or someone today, can initially at least feel the presence, and it, as it matures, to see the Supreme Lord, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Now we're speaking mature stages of bhakti, but Prati Padam Purnamritasvadanam, it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Very celebrated photograph of Srila Prabhupada with the devotees in Germany, and Rupa Nuga told me this story that Prabhupada was so powerful that just sometimes you would tell Bengali jokes in a room full of devotees in a darshan. No one understood the joke. But when Prabhupada laughed, it was such a laugh that everyone in the room began laughing because it was so joyful. And then in a moment, his mood could change to like stern and intense. And I've experienced the second part directly. Not directed me, but just his mood is so strong. His guru is heavy. So pleasing our founder Acharya makes the whole world joyful because it makes him joyful. And making Krishna happy that the heart has finally become cleansed. It's very powerful. It affects beyond our own experience. It affects the home, and it affects the community, and it affects the world. This is our spiritual response to the badness in the world today. When devotees finally achieve the perfection of chanting, they taste the full nectar of loving devotion to Krishna, a taste that makes the bliss of liberation seem insignificant. And now we're ready for the cherry on top of the ice cream on top of the cake. The seventh excellence, Sarvatma Snapanam. It's the overall kind of summary, bathing of the Atma. Atma Snapanam, and it applies to everybody. It gives a cooling effect to everyone. Chanting frees conditioned souls of the illusion of identifying themselves with their body and mind and establishes them in the cleansed and cooling reality that they are eternal spiritual entities, of course, in relationship with Krishna, but that's the Atma Snapanam. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So all glories to the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which achieves all these things. And Sankirtan movement, Bhaktisiddhanta clarifies, it's not just the chanting and dancing display of Sankirtan. It's the entire hearing and chanting process. It's our japa. It's our reading and discussing the topics of Krishna. This is all part of Sankirtan. And from those Sankirtan activities flow all the other devotional activities that naturally arise and awaken, that the root is the Sankirtan part, hearing and chanting. So the purpose of these morning and evening classes is to assist our members to take advantage of our time together. And in the lockdown situation, it's easing up, but you know, maybe too fast for different reasons, because the coronavirus incidences are rapidly increasing, including in Texas, in part because of how people are doing what they're doing in public forums without any regard for precautions, or without sufficient regard for precaution. So strengthen your daily chanting of the holy name and other forms of devotional practice. That's what we're trying to do for this Saturday, and we'll continue again tomorrow. So let's see if there's some discussion. We've gone for an hour and 10 minutes only. Yeah.
I What is the major distinction between that liberation, which is described as useless and
undesirable?
Yeah, undesirable. And like the prayers of Narottam Das before, that where he's praying to be a yogi.
What's the difference?
Is it that it's for Krishna's pleasure?
Well, in the former case, Krishna is not even in the picture. It's still about me. And that kind of liberation where there's no, it's all about Krishna, is a type of liberation. Of the types of liberation, is the far more coveted type of liberation. Merging, becoming one with. And it's not just, you know, scholars over there in India or people in, you know, Father Shankaracharya in South India. It's, you know, it's people in the world. It's not, you know, people in the yoga scene, somehow or another. They all have it, not all, almost all, have the idea in the final analysis, if they have a spiritual conception at all, it's all one. Krishna's not in the picture. If they have an idea of Krishna, well, that's, you know, it's an impersonal idea of Krishna. There's not, so it's a goal of becoming one. I entered into the existence of the oneness, the undifferentiated oneness. And my woes and cares and troubles are behind, because now it's all one. And the other kind is there's no selfish desire. Everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever the rasa is, the mood of pleasing Krishna, that's everything. It leaves all those cares and woes. It leaves the impersonal conception that on that side too. It now becomes the fullness of who we really are. And this is our spiritual form with spiritual activities in relation to the supreme source of everything. It's a different. Two, 10, 6, Bhagavatam. You can read the verse. Gives the answer. Gives a definition of mukti. Liberation. The Bhagavatam speaks muktir hitvanyata rupam svaropena vyavastitu. You have a spiritual form. In that spiritual form, you're doing your activities in your spiritual form in relation to Krishna. That kind of liberation. You always have nice questions. I'm looking to see if you have a nice question this evening.
What should we be thinking when we're chanting?
It depends on the stage of bhakti that you are in. There are different ways of saying it in simple language. In simple language, Prabhupada expressed it this way. Please accept me. It's like a child going like this. They don't even have to say, please accept me. But that's what it says. No, the mother and father are certainly going to accept. The child just goes like this and they know what the child wants. So that's the heart. Please engage me in your service is another way of saying the same. Because that's acceptance. But there's a mood of humility within both expressions.
And like little children, as soon as mother and father pick them up, within a few moments they're wiggling, and then they mean they want to get back down again. They leave aside the mood of shelter and protection and safety and acceptance and love, and then they just want to go run around again. That's what, you know, we do that too. So there has to be something that sustains. And profound humility doesn't fade, and profound sense of service doesn't fade. It's who we are. And then there's the object. So as I was sharing a little bit before, I want to be in my relationship with Krishna again, and the access, that the eternal relationship with Krishna again, is with the name. So let me stay with the name. And that's my relationship with Krishna. And then my relationship with Krishna can fill all other activity. My relationships with my family, my relationships with my work, my relationships with my household chores and my duties of life and everything. And so it's a relationship where the object is at the center of, and whatever the arena and the circumstance, it doesn't change. I mean, circumstances change, but the mood doesn't change. So that, let me become restored in that relationship with you. So different people have different hankerings in their heart and the ways of expressing that hankering in their heart, but those are some.
Question.
I'm going to look around the room first, because more long we go here, you're going to have 15 more online questions.
You mentioned that the first three excellences relate to parallel to the three stages of bhakti.
So anarjana vritti.
So I guess, is there a possibility of feeling the other things?
Yes.
Before?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Vidyavaja jivana. Knowledge. Yes. Etc. A happiness. Yes.
But they won't fully. We won't be able to.
Yes. Yeah. The understanding of the stages of bhakti is not buckets or there's, okay, yeah, you finish that one, now I'm going to move on to the next one. It's not like that. Not like that. But prevalent, and, you know, the unfolding of a flower from a seed, it's in stages. What Krishna Das covered, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, is in the unfolding of a flower, the previous stage is gone, and the second stage and the third stage and so forth are manifest. But in bhakti states, they're not. They continue, they just mature and keep unfolding. And yes, so it works the other way too. The higher stages may be evidenced in a slight degree, even in early stage of bhakti. It's just less prevalent, less mature. Yeah.
What's the effect of the Harinam initiation on chanting?
Prabhupada speaks this way: when the formal connection is made, then language is important, and I can't remember his exact language, but there's a potency, an empowerment kind of potency of connection, formal connection with the Siddha succession. Now, that's the effect. There's a potency that helps or enables one to chant with, you know, that connection, with that potency of connection. It's not that until one, when one is not initiated, there isn't connection. There's connection by giving in one's heart to the preceptor and the disciplic line through the preceptor. And so there's submission and there's acceptance even before. But then it formalizes and okay. There's a shakti that comes to one from that formal acceptance and formal submission, formalizing both. Kuvira? No? Shanti? No? Online.
This question is from Shashi Mukhi Mataji. She's asking, is unflinching trust faith? If so, is it a medium to cultivate our relationship to the Supreme Lord for longing happiness to get satisfaction when doing our devotional service? Is this the right thought process?
Is it the right
thought process?
Thought process? Well, I didn't hear, let's say, the mood of the Shuddha Bhaktas or the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. It's about Krishna's happiness. That's the happiness. So what she has written is certainly a description of prema, but the higher stages of prema, it's not about what I'm experiencing, is what Krishna's experience, the happiness, the joy of Krishna is everything. So that's, but that's what she has expressed is fine. Let's keep going.
Second question is from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. We try to do focused and attentive 16 rounds, preferably in the early morning time. The extra rounds one may do in the spirit of Kirtaniya Sadahari during the day have to be formal and intense.
He's making a statement.
He's asking questions. So he's,
the extra rounds, should the extra rounds be formal and intense as the ones that we do in the morning?
As intense as the ones you do in the morning. Well, Kirtaniya Sadahari, why just... So... In either case, it's regulative. We do because A or B, you know, we're told to do it. It's good for you. Eat your spinach. Brush your teeth, you know. Take your multivitamins or something because we know it's good for us. Duty. And then going a little bit further, it's uplifting. It'll make my heart clean, Chaitadharpa and Martin, with faith that we're doing. But there isn't taste yet. It's not. It's regulative. Even the extra rounds are regulative. So whether it's the first 16 or something after the 16, there are many devotees that chant more than 16. It's not like they put their counter beads away and now they don't know how many rounds they're chanting because they're just chanting. It's regulative. Until the mature stage of purification and attraction awaken, it's regulative. It's first 16 to the after the 16. They should all be with, you know, why make a distinction in the mood with which one chants after the first 16. He had some similar question in the morning session or the other day. The 16 is minimum, and beyond 16 minimum is whatever it is. Okay.
Next is from Arshana Vaidya. is Nishtha stage, constant, and natural remembrance of Krishna.
But remembrance of Krishna is natural in any case, and constant, well, it's Nishtha means steady, as opposed to unsteady, anishtata. So it's steady, constant. It's steady. That's what it is. Go ahead.
Dr. Srikant Su was saying, what is meant by anartha? Which karmas do come under anartha? So what is meant by anartha and which karmas come under anartha?
Karmas don't come under anartha. Karma means something else. Anartha means that which blocks the heart from getting the fullness of associating with an object that's spiritual. Let's say, here's deities, or here's devotees, or here's the Bhagavatam, or here's the name, and we don't experience the fullness of those spiritual entities, spiritual opportunities, because of anarthas in the heart. It's that which blocks the experience of that which is spiritual. It's impurities of heart that block in that way. And they're very hard to remove. So I don't know if I've answered his question. If he wants to re-ask his question a little later, if I haven't answered it, because I'm not sure what he's asking. It's definitely not a karma. It's something, an obstacle in the heart.
Next is from Sushmita Mandal. How is detachment defined in the bhakti process? Is detachment from material life only part, or detachment from family in grihastha jivan also a part, and how does that unfold?
Well, the detachment is disinterest in gratifying one's own senses. So objects out there commonly in material existence are perceived by the mind as an opportunity for enjoyment through senses, meeting sense object. That's attachment. And detachment is when can see the senses can perceive the same object, not in the mood of trying to find, squeeze some happiness out of the senses contacting that sense object, but rather different kind of sensation, the sensation of service. Here's a mridanga, and somebody that's like musical, they're fascinated with, you know, musical instruments and their voice and singing, and your kids go on and on and on with their voice. It's just they enjoy hearing their voice go this way, that way. And so that's material attachment. It's the attachment to the sensibility that says objects are meant for my enjoyment. And detachment is replaced that tendency with tendency to service. So it's not detachment from family, like I don't care about my family anymore because I'm a devotee. It's in the mood, with a different mood of wanting that Krishna should be pleased by this activity or this object or this relationship or something. That's real. According to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna indicates that real detachment is attachment to Krishna. When there's attachment to Krishna, we don't throw things away, like family and computer and car and home and bank balance and everything, just like trash it. That's
false renunciation or detachment, using those, seeing those things as property of Krishna, using them in Krishna's service, or engaging with them in Krishna's service, that's detachment, including her question with family. Engaging with Krishna at the center of that activity and those relationships.
Next is from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. At the very core, is japa a sincere, focused, and humble prayer?
I hope so. Especially for you. Go ahead.
I don't have more questions.
Okay. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
What was that? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. They have an hour high. I told them.